The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Aleph writes as follows: Nagu Lokum Ba'Shmores Lomaslichos V'Tachanunim Mirash Chodesh Elul Ve'Elech Ad Yom HaKippurim. It's an old minhag to get up Ba'Shmores to say Slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. The minhag of the Sfaradim, they say Slichos all of Chodesh Elul. But the Ramah says that we Ashkenazim are noeg to blow shofar from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, and we start saying Slichos the week before Rosh Hashanah, the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. But if Rosh Hashanah falls out on either a Monday or a Tuesday, which is what happens this year, so then we start the previous week, not the week of Rosh Hashanah itself, but the previous week. Why? Because we want to have at least 4 days of Slichos before Rosh Hashanah. What's the reason for that? So the Mishnah Berurah gives different reasons. But one reason that he gives, a very important reason, is that the Pasuk in Parashas Pinchas, when it talks about the Musafim of Rosh Hashanah, it uses a Lashon Vasisem Ola. Not V'hikravtem Ola, you should bring a Karban Ola, but rather Vasisem Ola. So from that, the Chachamim understood that on Rosh Hashanah, a person is supposed to be Makriv himself as a Karban, so to speak. It's the Yom Adin, a person is being judged that day. So in a sense, every person is being Makriv himself as a Karban. So there's a rule by Karbonos that a Karban is Ta'un Bikur Dalad Yamin. Bikur, Levaker. A Karban requires Bikur to check it out, to see if it shouldn't have any Mumin 4 days before you bring the Karban. There's a 4 day preparation time for a Karban, that the Karban is Ta'un Bikur. So similarly, if Vasisa Mola, if on Rosh Hashanah each and every one of us is like a Karban, so we have to check ourselves out for 4 days before. So that's one of the reasons for the Minig to say Slichas 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Monday or Tuesday, so we're not going to have the full 4 days, we want to start with the beginning of the week. We don't want to start in the middle. You could have said, well, let's have Slichas on Sunday, and we'll have, Friday and Thursday and Wednesday the week before. No, we want to start with the beginning of the week, start fresh with the beginning of the week, so that's why we start from the Sunday before. Okay, this is the basic minhag of Slichas for the Sfaradim, for the Ashkenazim. They start at different times, but it's the same principle, in a sense, to prepare oneself for the Yom HaDin. When during the day do we say Slichas? So the Shulchan Aruch uses that interesting word, Ashmores. Nagu lokum ba'ashmores lomar Slichas. What does Ashmores mean? So Daf Yomi just started Masech the Brachas. Some of you might know that on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Brachas quotes a machlokas Tanoim as to whether there are three mishmaros, three ashmaros, or three mishmaros in the Laila, three watches, or four watches every night. Meaning, is the night divided into four parts or divided into three parts? So, it seems as though we paskin that the night is divided into three parts. So each ashmor is 4 hours. So the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that in the last Ashmorah, specifically toward the end of the last Ashmorah, Besof HaLaila, that's the most appropriate time to say Slichos. Why? Because Sof HaLaila is an Eis Ratzon. It's a greater Eis Ratzon. So that's why we want to say Slichos at the time of Eis Ratzon. But some claim that you can say Slichos, some do say Slichos, after Chatzos. Just like there's an old minhag to say Tikkun Chatzos for the Churban Beis HaMikdash after Chatzos, or at Chatzos, so too they say Slichos after Chatzos. Again, the greatest Eis Ratzon, it would appear, is in the end of the last Ashmur of the night, right before Alos HaShachar. But Chatzos is also a time of Ratzon. So some say Slichos after Chatzos. So either one of those times is perfectly appropriate to say Slichos. The Matan Ephraim, though, quotes, this is the minhag of many people, is now we say Slichos even after Alos HaShachar. That's the minhag the Matan Ephraim quotes, that yes, Me'ikar Adin, maybe we should say Slichos B'Sof HaLaila, or at Chatzos HaLaila, just like Tikkun Chatzos, but B'Zman HaZeh, the minhag is to say it even after Alos HaShachar, because it's hard for people to get up. It used to be they would get up much earlier in the day. But now we don't get up as early. We're not working the fields as much, I guess, so we're getting up a little bit later. So the minhag developed that to say it before Alos HaShachar is going to be a big tircha. So they say it even after Alos HaShachar. Except on the first night. The first night, there's an old minhag to say Slichas earlier, because there are certain statements that we make in the Pizmonim, in the Slichos, that sound like we're saying Slichos at night. We'd say Asira Samba Omdam Balelos. We talk about Laila. So we're talking about Laila, it sort of seems a little bit strange to say those lines during the day. So some delete the lines, and some just say it because it's a general lashon. We're not necessarily talking about the slichos that we're saying now, but we daven at night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our tefillah when we daven at night. We're not necessarily referring to the davening we're doing now. So some just say it, even though they're not davening at night. Rabbi Shechter is very makbid to say slichos after chatzos, not to say it in the morning. To say it before Alos HaShachar, that's going to be pretty early. That'll be, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. That's pretty early. So he stays up a little bit later during this period of time. Rabbi Shechter stays up a little bit later, and he's very makbid to say it dafke after chatzos, as opposed to saying it right before Shachar. Like you get up for the 7 o'clock minyan to say slichos, say half an hour before at 6:30. Rabbi Shechter would say that's not really so appropriate to do. He says, why? He says, because slichos is something that the Mekubolim introduced. It's a minig of the Mekubolim. So, al pi kabbalah, it's not an Eis Ratzon in the morning. It's an Eis Ratzon at the end of the night, the last half of the night, starting from Chatzos until Halos is the Eis Ratzon of night. So, Rabbi Shechter says, if you're going to do something of Kabbalistic nature, you got to play by the rules of the Mekubolim. You can't play games here. If the Mekubolim say this is the time it's supposed to be said, and you're saying Slichos, which has time in al pi kabbalah, even though it is tefillah, but the time is really Api Kabbalah, so you have to say it at the appropriate time. So he feels that you have to say it during the last half of the night, the second half of the night, from Chatzos and on. So he's very medactic during this period of time to say Slichos, Dafke after Chatzos. So that's why they'll have a minion in the Beis Medrash at like 12:45 or something like that. I don't know exactly what the Shos Manias work out this year, but he's very careful to do that. And if it's too difficult to stay up so late, so he'll take a nap. Or he'll do whatever has to be done in order to say slichos at the right time. It's interesting, the Shari Tshuva, there in Siman Tovkuf Pe'alef, Sivkot Na'alef, quotes from some achronim, from the Tur Barekes, or Tur Barkat. I'm not sure exactly how to even pronounce the name of the Sefer. But this Tur, these achronim say that, you know, these times, these days, are days of Tefillah V'Tachanunim. So it's really more appropriate to be marbid b'slichos than to learn Torah. You know, there are some yeshivas that claim that, no, we have to say slichos during the day. In fact, they even say slichos the first day, I should say. They say it in the morning. They don't even say it at night. Because they claim it's going to cause bittul Torah, that the boys are not going to be able to learn properly. They won't be able to concentrate because they're going to be so tired. So the Shari Tshuva does point out, I'm not saying that the minig of the yeshivas is wrong, but the Shari Tshuva points out that these are really times of tefillah. So it's really appropriate to be married with tefillah and to daven at the right time, even if it'll cause a little bit of Torah. So it is something to keep in mind. I think Rabbi Shechter holds very strongly of this Shari Tshuva, and he claims that if the appropriate time to say slichos is at an Eis Ratzon of night, so then one really should say slichos at night, after chatzos, before the morning. It's really appropriate to say it before the morning. There are some who have a minig, actually, bedavka, to say the slichos of the first night at Chatzos, meaning we started by saying that the Shulchan Aruch says Nogu Lokum Bashmores. People have a minute to get up right before Alos HaShachar. So there is a very popular minute that Dafka Matzei Shabbos, we should say it at Chatzos. And that's the minute even people who say Slichos in the morning, the Matzei Shabbos of the first night of Slichos, normally we say it at night, Dafka after Chatzos. What's the idea? Why Dafka after Chatzos, not even the last Ashmura of the night, but Dafke after Chatzos? So I once heard a beautiful pshat that the Pizmon of the first day of Slichos starts B'motzoi Menucha Kidamnucha Tchila. B'motzoi Menucha, Motzoi Shabbos, Motzoi Menucha, Menucha Shabbos, Motzoi Shabbos Kidamnucha Tchila. We came early to daven to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds like we're saying Slichos at the earliest possible time. So the earliest possible time is at Chatzos. So that's why people bedafka say slichos the first night at chatzos, not at the end of the night. Even those who normally have a minig to get up early for the morning, and they say it at the end of the last ashmura, but there's an old minig to say the first night of slichos dafka after chatzos because of this b'motzoi menucha kidam menucha tchilu. The Shari Tshuva there quotes in the Birka Yosef that there are some places that say slichos at night, before Chatzos. Yishtaka hadover, he says. It's wrong. It's the wrong thing to do. Because the night time before Chatzos is an Eis Din. It's a time of Din, it's not an Eis Ratzon. This is why there's an old minig not to say Tachnun at night. We don't say Tachnun for Maariv, we say Tachnun for Mincha. We don't say Tachnun for Maariv. In fact, there's an old minig of the Chasidim not to say Tachnun even for Mincha, because we're afraid, one of the reasons given is we're afraid that the Mincha is going to extend, maybe Peh Shkia. We don't want to say Tachnun after Shkia. So therefore we don't say Tachnun at night. Some people don't say Tehillim, even if they'll say Tehillim after a after a minyan, but after Maariv, in some places they don't say Tehillim, some places they do, but some places they don't say Tehillim. So similarly, the Birkei Yosef says, Yishtaka Adav, you shouldn't say Slichas at night, because night is an Eis Din, it's not an Eis Ratzon, so therefore it's an inappropriate time to say Slichas. Ad Kan Devar. Aye, but the minyan is to say Slichas. Many shuls do say Slichas at night. So there's a tshuva that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in Chelek Beis. He was asked this Shaila. The Moshe writes that if it's difficult to get the minyan together, maybe begeder harah shah, you can be matir for them to say slichos 1 year before chatzos. That's the way he writes it. He says, but of course the next year they should say slichos at the right time. It's Reb Moshe's nusach. So, Reb Moshe seems to be saying that really it's inappropriate to say slichos at night. That's really what the Birkei Yosef writes. But he's willing to be matir begeder harah shah if the tzibur is not going to say slichos at all. So it's okay to be matir. He writes to the shul, it's okay to be matir 1 year begeder harah shah, but it's clear, he says this twice, that it's begeder harah shah, but it sounds like the next year they should say slichos the right time. They should say slichos dafke after chatzos. Or if they can't say it after chatzos, they should say it in the morning. They should say it in the morning. The morning might not be the biggest day shiratzon, but it's not an eis din. So that seems to be the appropriate time to say slichos. I once was giving a shia during this particular period of time in a shul, and it was a shir at night, and we davened Maariv after the shir. And after Maariv, someone got up and started saying Ashrei. So, like for a split second, I was a little taken aback. It seemed a little bit strange. They davened Maariv, what they were davening Mincha now. But then I realized immediately they were saying slichos. Right after Maariv, they were saying slichos. It was like 10:30 at night. So I was really taken aback. It was a minyan of young people, obviously young professional people who were going to work the following morning. 10:30 was still early, the night was young, somebody was going to go to sleep, I don't know, 12 o'clock, 12:30 or whatever. And I guess they felt it was going to be difficult for the tzibur to come in the morning, to get up even earlier. They probably davened at a 6:30 minyan, to get up even earlier, to say slichos at 6 o'clock, or for a 6 o'clock minyan to get up at 5:30 was going to be more difficult. So they were saying slichos at night after Maariv. I don't know. I think they should reconsider such a minig. You know, we want the slichos to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. So if we're going to say slichos at a time of din, we're not really accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish. It's really better to say slichos after chatzos. And if that is too difficult, I know many people who find it's too difficult to stay up late. You know, staying up until 12:45 for most regular people is late if you're in the dormitory. So that's sort of in the middle of the evening time. So it's not such a big deal. But you know, for many people who don't live in a dormitory, that might be a little bit late. So you could say slichas in the morning before shacharis. But that's really the best time to say slichas. To say slichas after Maariv at night at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, I think it should be avoided. Really, I think it should be avoided because we're sort of losing the point. Instead of bringing rachamim upon ourselves, chalila, we might not be accomplishing that. Okay. How about a yachid? Very often the shaila is this. Let's say you miss the minyan, or you can't make the minyan. There's no minyan around you for slichas. Can you say slichas? So the Mishnah Berurah addresses this issue. Mishnah Berurah there in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph of Katan Daled. He says that a yachid can say slichas as well, but he should leave out certain parts of the slichas. He shouldn't say the yud gimel midos shel rachamim, because that's a special bris that was given to the tzibur, not to the yachid. So that he should be medalek. He should skip that. As well, in the kel melech, he should skip the kel horesa lonu lomar shlosh esrei. He should say kel melech until kel horesa lonu lomar shlosh esrei, because that's talking about the shlosh esrei midos. It's talking about the bris of the shlosh esrei midos. So you could say kel melech until that kel horesa, and if you want to say the shlosh esrei midos as part of a full pasuk, not just the shlosh esrei midos, but the full pasuk in Parashas Kisisa, you could do that. So then you're just mentioning the pasuk. But I wouldn't say the kel horesa lonu lomar shlosh esrei, because that's the special bris of the yud gimel midos that was given to the tzibur. And then you can continue the slichos from after the yud gimel midos. We start slichos with ashrei. Why do we start with Ashrei? It's not really part of the Slichos. The answer is because we want to say Kaddish. And we say Kaddish only on Psukim. So we say Ashrei in order to be able to say Kaddish afterwards. So it's important to be makbid that there should be 10 people at the beginning of Ashrei. Because you're saying Kaddish on the Ashrei B'tzibur. You know, sometimes you get to a minyan, and there are 6 or 7 or 8 people, so they say, let's say Ashrei, and then when the 2 people come, we'll say Kaddish. So that doesn't really work. You have to say the Psukim together B'tzibur. So you don't actually have to say the whole Ashrei B'tzibur. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if you didn't have 10 people in the beginning, start the Slichos. You don't want to start the Slichos late because then the minyan is going to be delayed. So start the Slichos, and then when 10 people come, you can say 3 psukim of the Ashrei, says the Mishnah Berurah. You could say any 3 psukim of Tanakh. It doesn't have to be the Dafka Ashrei. If the Slichos that you're saying, if there are psukim there, like in the part Shomea Tefillah, so that's like a likud of different psukim from Tanakh. So you could say 3 psukim, betzibur, and then say a Kaddish afterwards. You don't have to say Ashrei. But the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is that if they say 3 psukim of Ashrei, so then you'll be able to say Kaddish. It sounds like the Mishnah Berurah holds that you don't have to say the whole Ashrei to say Kaddish, but 3 psukim is enough. 3 psukim is somehow a chativa achas. It's one unit. Just like a person who gets an aliyah to the Torah has to read at least 3 psukim. You see that 3 psukim is a chativa achas. So also to say Kaddish, apparently if you have 3 psukim, that's enough of a chativa achas that you can say the Kaddish. So it's any psukim. It doesn't have to be Dafka Ashrei, but any 3 psukim, then you can say the Kaddish. And of course we know that if someone leaves the minyan early, let's say they're saying Slichos, they had the minyan from the beginning, they said Ashrei and Kaddish, and then they said Slichos, and now they want to say the Kaddish to Skabel after the Slichos, but they don't have a minyan there. The rule is that no one is supposed to leave. If you have to leave, you should leave a minyan there so that they can say Kaddish afterwards. You're not supposed to abandon the minyan. But if someone did leave, the rule is that they can still say a Kaddish to Skabel. As long as they had the tefillah b'tzibur, as long as the slichos were said b'tzibur, the Kaddish to Skabel can be said afterwards, even if you don't have the tzibur of 10 people there at the time of the Kaddish. Tachnun. At the end of slichos, we say Tachnun. That's the minig. But the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nefilas Apayim, in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Shulchan Aruch says there's no Nefilas Apayim Balayla. We don't fall Nefilas Apayim at night time. Except at the end, the last Ashmura, at the end of the night, when it's an Eis Ratzon already, when it's close to the daytime. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that there are some Achron who are Mekel even from Chatzos. So you'll see, when they say Slichos from Chatzos, there are some who do say Tachnun, and there are some who don't say Tachnun. If they say Slichos early in the morning before Alos HaShachar, so then everyone says Tachnun. They say it during the day, everyone says Tachnun as well. But for those who say Slichos at Chatzos, or I'm saying a little after Chatzos, so you'll find there are some people who do fall Nefilas Apayim, and some don't fall. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim, even if you don't fall Nefilas Apayim, that sounds like a redundancy. Even if you don't do Nefilas Apayim, you can still say the Mizmar of Tachnun. You just don't fall Nefilas Apayim, because apparently that's more of a Tachnun. So at a time it's not a real Eis Ratzon, we shouldn't do Nefilas Apayim. But you could say the Mizmar anyway. But to do Nefilas Apayim, some say you can do it if it's already from Chatzos, and others say it's better to avoid because it's not really an Eis Ratzon. The Shulchan Aruch and Tovkuf Payalas of Gimel writes that on Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't fall Tachnun during the tefillah, because it's just like any other Erev Yom Tov. We don't say Tachnun, but says the Shulchan Aruch, we do perform the Filas Apayim at Slichos. Since the Slichos is Bashmores, he writes, it's before the daytime. The din of Erev Yom Tov has not been chal yet, so we do fall for Tachnun in the Slichos Bashmores. Why is that? So says the Mishnah Berurah there, that's because Rov Pa'amim, in most circumstances, we finish the Slichos before Alos HaShachar. So all the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, claims the Mishnah Berurah, is that even if the Slichos got extended more than we expected, and we finished after Alos HaShachar, so that's okay. That's okay, since normally you finish before Alos HaShachar, you're davening Ba'ashmores, you finish the Slichos before Alos HaShachar, so you can fall for Tachnun, you can do Nefilas Apayim even afterwards. Rabbi Willig Paskin, I think he suggested that maybe, even if it's not Rov Pa'amim, as long as the Slichos is started before Alos HaShachar, then one can do Nefilas Apayim even afterwards. For the Mishnah Berurah, you get the impression that it's because Rov Pa'amim, it works out that you finish before Alos HaShachar. So we follow Rov Pa'amim. Rabbi Willig would seem to say I think he said this many times, that as long as the slichos began before Elos HaShachar, then you can be mekel and do nefilas hapayim even after Elos HaShachar. That's what often happens, because the slichos Erev Rosh Hashanah are very long. So often they'll start a 5:15, 5:30. So I think that's normally before Elos. They normally start before Elos. It depends what minyan you're davening in. If you're davening the 7 o'clock minyan, if it's a yeshiva minyan, and they're going to daven the regular tefillah starting 8:30, so then the slichos are going to be after Elos HaShachar. Rabbi Willig would probably say in that case you shouldn't say tachanun after the slichos. But if you're davening in a more balabatish minyan at home, they normally start earlier because they got to get to work. So normally they'll start before Elos. So Rabbi Willig would say in that case you can say slichos even though you know metchila that they're going to end after Elos HaShachar. The Ramah in Tavkuf Pei Aleph, at the end of Sif Aleph, quotes a very interesting minhag. Ramos says that there are some who are knowing that the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos should be the Shliach Tzibur for all the Tfilos Hayom as well. That means for Shachris and Mincha as well. We don't go back to Marav, even though Marav really is part of the same day. But all this minhag means that the same Shliach Tzibur for Shachris should be the Shliach Tzibur for Shachris and Mincha as well. And the Magen Avraham says that this is such an important minhag that he trumps, the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos will trump an Ovel and the Yard site as well. If the Ovel and the Yard site, you know, have the voice that they can daven Slichos, they know the Nigun, so let them daven Slichos also, then you won't have a problem, the Ovel will daven all the Tfilos. But if the Ovel doesn't feel comfortable davening for the Abed for Slichos, the Magen Avraham says that the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos trumps everyone. He trumps the Yard site, trumps the Ovel. He davens for the whole day. Why? Well, why does the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos have to daven for the whole day? It's a minhag that he davens the whole day. The Magen Avraham says, because Hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. Since he started the mitzvah, we say he should finish the mitzvah. No, there's an old principle. Maschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. So we apply that in this case as well. So some of the Achronim ask, I think this is in the Chubas of Rav Shlomo Levilna, in the Binyan Shlomo, and in other Achronim. Some of the ask, what's the Magen Avraham talking about? What does this have to do with Hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar? Bishlam, if you're talking about one mitzvah. So if he starts a mitzvah, we tell him he should the mitzvah. But is this really one mitzvah? Slichas is one mitzvah, but it's over. It's over. Are shachris and mincha part of the mitzvah of slichas? There are other tefillos. Would anyone say that the person who daven shachris for the yomud and Shabbos morning should daven musaf and mincha as well? I think if you'd suggest that, a lot of people in the shul would try to daven in a different shul for Musaf and Mincha. People like to hear different Balei Tefillah. They don't like if he's a chazan, if he's like a world-famous chazan, so then they want him to daven everything. If he's a regular Balei Tefillah, so they like to switch off. They like to give everyone a chance. They want to hear different nigunim and different voices. So does anyone say that the same person who daven shachris for the Omid Shabbos should daven Musaf and Mincha as well? We never heard of such a thing. So why do we find that the Magen Avraham says... Magen Avraham explains the Ramah that the one who's daven slichos should daven the other tefillos as well. Hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. Well, what kind of a strange idea is that? The Rav once suggested, this is printed in the Masorah journals that the OU used to put out. They still do, but it's not as frequent. This is in Chelik Vav, if you want to look it up. The Rav suggested that maybe there's a big difference between Shachris of Shabbos and Musaf of Shabbos and Slichas and the other Tfilos Hayom. Why? Because there's really no connection between Shachris and Musaf, between Musaf and Mincha. They're all Tfilos Hayom. Musaf is a Tosefis on Shachris, but there's no real intrinsic connection between them. But, said the Rav, there really is an intrinsic connection between Slichos and the other Tfilos Hayom. L'moshel, he said, let's say a person were to daven Slichos, and then he wouldn't feel well. Let's say he daven Slichos and Chatzos. Then he goes to sleep, and he's just having a very hard time getting up. He has a headache, And he goes back to sleep, and somehow the whole day passes and he doesn't daven Shachris or Mincha. Said the Rav, not only would he not be Yotze Shachris and Mincha, he wouldn't be Yotze Slichos either. Because Slichos is a Hakdama to the other Tfilos Hayom. That's what Slichos is, claimed the Rav. It's a Hakdama, it's an introduction to the other Tfilos Hayom. It's linked to the other Tfilos Hayom. It's not Stam another Tfilah, it's a Hakdama to the other Tfilos. So if a person misses all the other Tfilos Hayom, not only will he not be Yotze those Tfilos, he won't be Yotze Slichos either. Because Slichos has to be a Hakadam, it has to be an introduction to the other Tfilos Hayom. So based on this, the Rav claim, we understand the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, Hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar, because Slichos really is part of the mitzvah of the Tfilos Hayom. It's all one unit. It's not that Shachris is connected to Mincha, but Slichos is connected to Shachris, and Slichos is connected to Mincha. So the one who's Maskel Mitzvah, the one who davens the Slichos, it's appropriate for him to daven the other Tfilas Hayom, because the other Tfilas Hayom are just a Hakadoma. The Slichos is just a Hakadoma to the other Tfilas Hayom. What emerges from this Vart of the Rav, and this Yesod of the Rav, is something else that's very important. Sometimes, at the time of Slichos, at the days that we say Slichos, so people get so into the Slichos, that if they'll come late for Slichos, they'll continue davening Slichos as the Sibur is already beginning Shachris. And they'll say half a Pesuk of the Zimra, they'll start davening late, they'll put on the Talis and Tefillin late. That doesn't seem to be such an appropriate custom. Because if Slichos is just a Hakadama for the Tfilos Hayom, the Tfilos Hayom are more important than the Slichos. So you're not going to spend more time with the Hakadama if the Tfilos Hayom themselves are not going to be davened appropriately. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Slichos is a hakdama. It's an important hakdama, but it's just a hakdama. So if the tzibur davened slichos quickly, so you have to finish whatever slichos you're saying. Normally we try to say the end of the slichos as slowly as we say the rest of the slichos. But there are some circumstances, some minyanim that they run through the last part. If they run through the last part, so finish it after davening. You can't finish all of the, I don't know, Aselim HaShemecha, Aneinu Hashem Aneinu, all those, Hashav Nebagadu, all those parts of the Slichos, so then leave that for the end. Leave it till after the davening, and then you'll be mashlim whatever you left out. But to forfeit Tefillah B'Tzibur in the proper way, starting with Brachos and saying Karbonos, as we spoke about last year, right? Saying all the Karbonos and Pesukah de Zimra and all of the parts of Tefillah that we have to say, and we do say, we try to say as much as we can, so that really is more appropriate than saying more Slichos, because Slichos is just an introduction to the Tefillah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siv Vav that even though the Magen Avraham says that there's this minig that Hamaskel Mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar, so the Shliach Tzibur for Slicha should really daven all the other Tfilas Hayom, that's not the minig. Right? That's not the minig. So there are Chilufim in Hagim. I think in many places, if the Ovel really wants to daven, I think they're Mekil. They're Mekil to let the Ovel daven, even if someone else says Slichos. The Magen Avraham is Miyaseid, he tries to explain the minig of the Ramah, but not everyone has this minig. So it's not the kind of thing that you have to go crazy over. You know, if the Ovel really can't daven for the Ovel, and you know, he feels bad that he can't daven for the Ovel, so if the Baal Tefillah for Slichos is Mochel, then the Ovel really can daven. Then the Yartzeit would be able to daven, because it's not a minig in every place. If it mamash would be the minig Ashkenaz, so then it would be inappropriate to act in a way that's different from the minig. But there are those who have a different minig, so therefore it's not the worst thing if the Ovel or the Yartzeit will daven and not the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos.
Some minyanim for Slicho, they bring in like a musical guest kind of thing, and he usually doesn't stay for Shachris.
Right. So obviously, if the Shliach Tzibur is not there for Shachris, so we're not gonna say okay, there's no Shachris today because we don't have the Shliach Tzibur. So obviously, if the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos leaves, so then anyone can daven for the Yamin, even if he's not an Ovel, even if he's not a Yartzeit. But even where the Baal Tefillah for Slichos stays, there's still some places where they have a minig that the Ovel will daven. And the shots for Slichos will just be mochel for the oven. Here, Rama quotes another minig to blow shofar all of Chodesh Elul to be ma'or the tzibur for tshuva, but on Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't blow shofar. Right? There's an old minig that even those who blow shofar all of Chodesh Elul, but on Erev Rosh Hashanah they don't blow shofar. Why not? So everyone knows, right? They teach all the elementary school children k'dei la'arbe v'sasatan. We want to confuse the satan. Not going to realize what we're doing, right? You won't be able to be mekatreg in the same way, to prosecute in the same way, because he doesn't realize Rosh Hashanah is coming, we're going to fool him. So it's a time that we don't fully understand, because he's so wily in so many other ways that, you know, somehow he can't get it together.
He's been through it every year, he would have caught on.
Right, that's what you would have imagined. So there are other mefarshim who give a different interpretation, more of a briskip shot. Namely, that we don't blow on Erev Rosh Hashanah to be mavdil between the tkios, the reshus, and the tkios, the chova. Between the tkios of obligation, the tkios shel mitzvah, and the tkios of reshus, that everyone should realize that the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is different than the shofar all of Chodesh Elul. And we find already smuchim lekach, we find other circumstances where we do that. There's a minig, the old minig is that you don't eat matzah Erev Pesach, not the whole Chodesh Nisan. and not from Purim. Right? There are other extensions of that minhag. The old minhag is Erev Pesach, you don't eat matzah. What's the idea? Erev Pesach? What was you're not eating matzah on Erev Pesach? No. The Mishnah Berurah explains, I think, in Tafayin Aleph, somewhere there, Tafayin Aleph, in Hilchos Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah explains that the reason is to separate, to make a heker between the matzah shel rishus and the matzah shel mitzvah. I think that's what the Rambam writes, in fact. Yeah, I think the Rambam writes that. So that's probably the same reason al-pinigla, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't blow shofar. To separate, to make a heker between the tefillah shel mitzvah and the tefillah shel rishus. Yeah. Okay. Question, Ephraim. Not a maris ayin. It's that you're showing a chashivas for the tefillah shel mitzvah, for the matzah shel mitzvah. That's a different halacha. But, you know, people might think, well, it's all the mitzvah. No, the shofar shel mitzvah, that's on Rosh Hashanah. So they'll have the right kavana and they'll take it more seriously, maybe. So that's why we're mavdu. We make a heker between the davar shel mitzvah and the davar shel rishus. Sorry.
For yourself, primarily.
Right. I think so. Right. And certainly not for the satan. Right, it's for the people who are being yotzei the mitzvah. There's an old minig. The Ramah quotes this as well in Tavkuf Payalef. This is in Siv Dalet. There's an old minig that on Erev Rosh Hashanah people go to the mikveh. Not everyone has this minig, but there is such a minig. What's the mokar for the minig? It's a rush at the end of Masechta Yuma. The Rosh quotes from the Gaonim that actually there was an old minig that on Erev Yom Kippur people went to the mikveh. Not on Erev Rosh Hashanah so much, but on Erev Yom Kippur. And it was extended to Erev Rosh Hashanah as well. Because the truth is, there are similarities between the two. How so? What's the reason to go to the mikveh? So the Rosh quotes a number of reasons, two important reasons. He says, first of all, the Pasuk says, B'nivlosam lo sigo, there's some halacha that even Yisraelim are not supposed to become tamei, or they're not supposed to touch an avela, they'll become tamei, meaning they're supposed to be tar, not so much that they shouldn't become tamei, but they're supposed to be tar. What does that mean? What does that mean? If Yisraelim are not muzar and tumas meis, so why should they be muzar and tumas nevela? So Rashi there quotes from Chazal that from here you learn the chayav adam latara atzmo boregel, that a person has to be matar himself for Yom Tif. Before Yom Tov, he has to be Matar himself. That's what Benevlas Mosigo is coming to teach us. So according to these Gaonim, according to this reason in the Gaonim, so this rule of Chayav Adam Matar Atzma Baregel will apply not only to the Shalosh Regalim, but to Rosh Hashanah as well. Right? The Gaonim are saying, because of Chayav Adam Matar Atzma Baregel, there's a minig on Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to the mikveh as well. They seem to be saying not only for the Shalosh Regalim there's a din of Chayav Adam Matar Atzma Baregel, but for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. What's more, they seem to be saying even Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Chayam there's this inyan as well. The rule of Chayav Adam Matar Atzma Baregel, according to these Gaonim, seems to be that Yom Tov is a special time when it's supposed to be Batara on Yom Tov. It's nothing to do with Karbanos, because if it would have to do with Karbanos, then Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Chayam there should be no inyan. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there shouldn't be an inyan either, because you're not bringing Karbanos Yochid on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You're not bringing the Olas Re'iyah and the Shalmi Chagiga like you bring on Yom Tov. So these Gaonim seem to be saying two chidushim. First of all, the idea of Chayav Adam L'Tayr Asa Beregel applies not only to the Shalosh Regalim, but even to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. And secondly, it applies even Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayam, because the rule of Chayav Adam L'Tayr Asa Beregel seems to be, according to these Gaonim, the one is supposed to be Torah before Yom Tov. That's the idea. Others disagree. That's why not everyone has this minik. Yireim Ushleimim do not necessarily have a minik to go to the mikveh both on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Erev Yom Kippur. So why do they have a different minik? So the Rosh himself is Doche, these Gaonim. The Rosh said, Bizman Hazeh, that we're all Tamei Meis, you can't become Torah completely. So what's the value of going to the mikveh? We're not going to become Torah. Yeah, you could be Tovel from Tumas Keri, but we're still Tamei Meis. If the idea is to become Tohar Baregel before the Regel, or before Yom Tov, before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, we're not going to be able to do that because we're still Tamei Meis. The Gaonim might counter, no, but at least to be Tovel from Tumas Keri, there's a value to that as well. We have to become as Tohar as we can become. But the Rosh says it's all or nothing. Either we're going to become Torah completely, or there's no point in getting involved. The Shagas Aryeh in Siman Samach Zayin is Docha the Gaon for a different reason. He says, he quotes from the Rambam that the rule of Chayav Adam L'Tan Ratzo Beregel is not just to be Torah fi Yomtiv. It's to be Torah to be able to bring the Karbonos of the Regel. So that should only apply, first of all, to the Shalosh Regal, not to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because there are no special Karbonos of Yochid that we bring on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. We don't bring the Olos Ri and the Shami Chagig. We bring Karbonos Sibur, but the Yochid doesn't have to be Torah to bring these Karbonos. The Kohanim are bringing the Karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash, they have to be Torah. So Zot the Shagat Aryeh, the rule of Chayav Adam L'Tan Ratzo Beregel means that we have to be Matar before the Regel in order to bring the Karbonos. That applies to the Sholosh Regel, not to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What's more, it should only apply Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, it shouldn't apply at all, even to the Sholosh Regel. There are those who have a minig to go to the mikveh before every Yom, before Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos as well, not just Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Since they hold the Chayav Adam L'Tan Ratzo Beregel, it's like the Gaonim say that what is supposed to be Torah before Yom Tov, so they take a go before Yom Tov, before every Yom Tov. But many have a minig not to go before Yom Tov, because Bizman has said that there's no Beis HaMikdash, we can't bring the Karbonos anyway. And they don't go before Rosh Hashanah and before Yom Kippur, because they hold there are no Karbonos there to bring anyway. So if there are no Karbonos, the rule of Chayav Adam L'Tan Ratzo Beregel, Zok Shagas Aryeh, based on the Rambam, that's so that you can come into the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Karbonos. But if there is no Beis HaMikdash, or even Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's no Karbonos Yachid. There are no Karbonos Yachid. So then there's no Inyan to be Mataras Atzmo before that day. So these are the different approaches that exist.
Is this sort of, like, is this really the sort of Rosh that's like all or nothing?
That's what the Rosh says, yeah. Yeah, that is what the Rosh says.
Like, let's say a Mida for women.
No, Nida is very different. Even though she's Tamei Meis, but Tumas Nida, she can remove Tumas Nida from her. So she won't be able to come to the Beis HaMikdash, but she'll be Muteres to live with her husband. The Rosh says the rule of Chayav Adam L'Tan Ratzo Beregel is all of nothing, but not, right, it's all or nothing. Only for that rule, but not for Tumas. Tumas Nida is its own Tumas, so there's an obligation. If a woman wants to be with her husband, she has to remove that Tumas Nida from her. It's actually, I should say better, there are different halachos in Nida. There's Tumas Nida, there's Isser Nida. So it could be, but I guess going to the mikveh is what removes the Tumah. Once the Tumah is removed, so then the Isser falls away as well. Right? They are related to each other, to some extent. Some explain the minig of the Ramah a little differently. The minhag of the Ramah to go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Erev Yom Kippur, they explain a little bit differently, not based on the Gaonim, the Chayav Adam L'Tan Ratzo Atzmo Beregel. The Gemara in Brachas and the Chaf Amid Beis, the Daf Yomi learned this only about a week ago. Gemara says that Ezra was misakin for a Balkeri, that a Balkeri is also Metalmud Torah unless he goes to the mikvah. That was Ezra's takonim. And then a Bezdin later was Gozer even for tefillah, that the Balkeri has to go to the mikveh before he davens. Two different takonas. Takonas Ezra is that the Balkeri is aser b'talmud Torah until he goes to the mikveh, and then a later bezdin was misaken that he's aser even b'tefillah unless he goes to the mikveh. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, a few generations later, was mevatel takonas Ezra. He darshan from a posuk, halo kol devori ka'esh nu'um Hashem, that divrei Torah are like esh, they're like fire. Fire is not mekabel tuma, so the Torah not mekabel tuma. It's an asmachta, but basically he was mevatel takanas Ezra. He says that a balkari doesn't have to go to the mikveh before he learns the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was mevatel takanas Ezra. How about the other takana? Takana of the later bezdin that a balkari can't daven without going to the mikveh. Takanas Ezra was batel, right? That a balkari is allowed to learn. Even if someone is a Balkari, he can learn before he goes to the mikveh. But how about the later takana, that he's not allowed to daven if he's a Balkari before he goes to the mikveh? So that's a machlokes rishonim. Was the later takana batel as well? Was it only takanas Ezra, that a Balkari can't learn Torah? He's also b'talmud Torah before he goes to the mikveh? Or even the takana of the bezdin after Ezra? It was gozer on tefillah. That's a machlokes rishonim. And this is the source of the minig that many chassidim have, that they go to the mikveh every morning. right? Even though they're not balei keri every morning, but it's a good idea to go every morning so that it won't be obvious when they are balei keri. That the minig is that many chassidim go every morning to be choshesh for these rishonim who hold that takanas ezu was batel, but not the takana of the bezdin later that a balkari is also betfila before he goes to the mikveh. So some want to suggest that maybe the minig of the Ramah to go to the mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Erev Yom Kippur is to be choshesh for the day that holds that the takana of the bezdin after Ezra was never brought to. Even if Kol Hashana Kula, we're not going to be so makbet on this, most non-chassidim are not makbet to go to the mikveh every day before they daven shachris, but on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Erev Yom Kippur, we are going to be machmir, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of special tfilos, they're special Yimei Tfilah. And because they're special Yimei Tfilah, we want to be tahar before we daven on these special days. So it could be that it's an extension of the shita to be machmir for that shita in Rishonim, that the takana of the later bezdin after Ezra was never batel. Even if we're not going to be machmir for that shita normally, but at least on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're going to be machmir for that shita. And in fact, if you look at the Rosh, some have pointed out that the lashon of the Rosh sort of sounds like this, because the Rosh says Nagu ha'olam b'tar atzman we carry the tefilas Yom Kippurim. Samchu Amedrish, he quotes a medrash, Nikiyim ke Malachi Hashareis. We're clean like Malachi Hashareis, and that's why we should go to the mikveh. Litfilas Yom HaKippurim, he says. It's not that we go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur because of Yom Kippur, because of the Kiddush of the day, because it's a regel. He doesn't use such a lashon. For the tefillah of Yom Kippur, sounds like it's based on this kind of a chumrah, that even if we're not going to be machmer for that shita in Rishonim, that the takana of the bezdin after Ezra was never batel, but at least when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and when it comes to Yom Kippur, we're going to be machmir to be tovel from keri for the tefillas hayom. Okay, moving right along. There's a minig that on Rosh Hashanah we eat different foods as a siman tov. Simitol, we eat the apple, right? Dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. I think we know the pismam. Right? The machzer has the whole list of things that people are very makbit to have all these different things, the Rosh HaKeves and the carrots and, you know, the simonim in Yiddish and the simonim in Hebrew and in English, and I don't know if the other languages play a role, but people are very makbit on this. It's an old minute, tak is a minig that's quoted. Specifically to eat the tapuach, to eat the apple, and to say shetachadish aleinu shana tova umesuka. I saw in the Machzor Mefurish, one of the new Machzorim, it's been around for a number of years, but I'm saying relatively speaking it's new. So in the halachas at the beginning of the Machzor Mefurish, he quotes that Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt that you should be makdim the tzmarim. You should eat the dates first. You should make the ha'etz on the dates, not on the apple. Why do we make a ha'etz? Bechal, we just washed. Right? We just made a hamotzi. The answer is, it's not really part of the meal. It's separate from the meal. We're doing it after hamotzi, because hamotzi has a din kedima, but the ha'etz is not going to be covered by the hamotzi, because it's really separate from the meal. We talked a little bit about this last year. If you have some kind of fruit cocktail or a special kind of salad that's not really part of the meal, maybe you would make a bracha on that even after hamotzi. So these fruits that we're eating, you eat pomegranate and dates and apples. You never do that. So clearly you're going to make a special bracha. Question is, what bracha should come first? That's the Machzor Mefurish quotes from Reb Shlomo Zalman, that he felt that the tamarim should come first. Why? What do you think? Why should the tamarim come before tapuach? Shiva saminim. It's the same ha'etz, but it's shiva saminim. Shlomo Zalman thought that the shiva saminim should come before the non-shiva saminim. But in the Machzor, it's not printed like that. You know, if you get all those laminated sheets that they give out from the yeshiva, they want a donation before Rosh Hashanah, so you can collect them over the years. They're very beautiful. They add a lot to the meal. You should give them tzedakah also, but okay, that's a discussion for a different time. So they all say that the Tapuach is first. How so? Why should that be true? So I saw the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas, very beautiful Sefer that collects from many different Svarim. So he says there are some who want to claim that there's a special inyan to do to eat the Tapuach first. Different remozin that the Tapuach has. He says there's a remez to Chakal Tapuach and Kadishin, Skinu Sudasa, right? We know a little bit about the Kabbalah. I'm not sure what the Chakal Tapuach and Kadishin, but there's some remez in the Tapuach. Alpinigla, they say the remez is that the Tapuach, the fruit of the apple, comes before the leaves of the apple. So it's a remez that Klal Yisrael was Makdim Nasa Tanishma. Also beautiful remez. So the Svarim say that we want to eat the Tapuach first. We want to eat it first for the special remozin that the Tapuach reminds us of. So if you want to eat the Tapuach first, the position of the Rambam happens to be, Shulchan Aruch does quote it, the Rambam Shita is that Choviv beats out Shivas Aminu. If you enjoy a particular food, then you'll make the bracha on that food and not on the Shivas Aminu. So someone has suggested that's why the Minig always was to make the Ha'etz on the Tapuach and not on the Tamarim, because of the order that we want. We want to eat the Tapuach for whatever reason, Al-Tam, Al-Pi-Nigla, Al-Pi-Nistar, so because we want to eat the Tapuach first, so that's why we make the Bori Pri Ha'etz on the Tapuach and not on the Shivas Aminu, not on the Tamarim. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an old Minig. This is in Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, Sivkot and Dalet. Mishnah Berurah quotes an old minhag not to eat sour foods on Rosh Hashanah. Also because it's not a simen tov. Sour foods, I guess like a pickle or something like that. Sour apple, crab apple, sour, not crab apple, but a sour apple. Not healthy to eat crab apple. Sorry?
Granny Smith.
A Granny Smith, okay. If your Granny Smith is sour, then maybe you shouldn't eat it on Rosh Hashanah, yeah, okay. I don't know. Not such a mumche in the different types of apples. But how about sharp things? Everyone always mentions, you shouldn't have horseradish. Ha, Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So, lechora, sharp and sour are not the same. I think some say, I think it's quoted in the Svarim, that dvarim charifim, one is allowed to eat on Rosh Hashanah. That's not mentioned as part of the minig. So somehow, people are very makbid. They have their fish without horseradish. Others claim, I don't have a simchas yamtiv if I'm eating my fish without horseradish. If I don't have the horseradish, don't even serve the fish. So, like, I don't know if you have to be so machmir not to have the horseradish with the fish. If you get a nar from the horseradish with the fish, the minig really is not to eat sour items. It's not sour, right? You know, you don't want to have a sour year. Sharp? Sharp, you should be sharp in learning. Right? You should be stark ben Torah and sharp in learning. Not sharp with your fellow man, right? Not sharp with your roommate, but I don't know. I don't think it's the worst thing to do to have the horseradish together with the fish. There's another minig not to have nuts. Also the same thing because it's gematria chait. Different things. Look, the rule of all these simanim, this is really what I wanted to get to. The rule of all these simanim is that simna milsa. There's this idea that the simen is something important. But what's important about the simen? Certainly the food items that we're eating. It's not a magic that if you eat, I don't know, if you eat fish, so nifra v'nir b'kedogim, then the family, you know, you're going to have triplets that year. That's not the idea that it's linked to the fish. The pshat is if you eat certain foods and you daven for certain things, so then the tefillah will bring about the results that you want. The ikkar is not the food. The ikkar is that the food reminds us to daven a certain way. So it's the tefillah. It's the same thing in terms of not eating certain foods. You don't eat a sour food because, epis, it's a bad sign. It's a bad omen. It's a bad simen. But if someone serves you the sour, if your mother serves you a sour food and you're going to say, I don't want to eat that, but you always eat pickles, this, and your mother's going to feel bad, I would eat the pickle. So don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Now, if you're going to embarrass someone or if you're going to offend someone, so clearly it's not a simen tov to do that either. Right? So we have to keep in sight, you know, what's really important over here, keep everything in the proper perspective. But clearly the purpose of the simanim is the tefillah involved. It's no magic that if you eat the food, so then something is going to happen. It really is a zman of tefillah, so we should be more involved in the tefillah than in the eating per se. We should have the tefillahs in mind when we do the eating. We know there's an old minig to say tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. Holchem etzal hamayim, they say, because the pasuk in Micha says v'sashlich v'mslulas yom kol chatosa. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkot and Ches that it's good to have, it's good that you should say Tashlech water where there's dogim, where there are fish. What's the idea of fish? What's live fish, he says. Why? So he said there are different reasons. It's a simon that Ayin Hara won't be sholet in us because Ayin Hara is not sholet in the fish. It's a simon that Nifra Venir, it's a simon tov that Nifra Venirba Kedogim. It's a good simon. It's not absolutely necessary. The minig is to go on Rosh Hashanah, the first day Rosh Hashanah after Mincha. If it's Chal B'Shabbos, so then they go on the second day. There are other minhagim. Some go other times. Some go on Erev Yom Kippur. Some go Hoshana Rabbah. Whatever your minig is, you should go. But we should remember, it has been pointed out, you know, some have a minig, maybe a minig toast, that they throw bread to the fish. They feel this tremendous achrayas to feed the fish. Normally during the year, they don't have this they don't feel this big need. But on Rosh Hashanah episode, the sense of rachamim that they have comes out into the fore. It's a big shaila in halacha if you're allowed to do that, because since the fish are not owned by you, it's what we call ein mezon ason olecha. You're not in charge of them to provide them with food, so they're really muktzah. And the halacha is that one is not allowed to be toreach for muktzah. You can't be toreach to feed, to bring food, to feed an animal that's muktzah for you. So if it's mezon ason olecha, then you have a chiyuv to feed it even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But if it's not mezon ason olecha, so then you're not supposed to be toreach for muktzah. It's a Mishnah in Shabbos on Daf Kuvav. So Bipshuto, since these dogim are not your responsibility, they're muktzah for you. So you're not really supposed to throw food out for them. I don't know where this minhag developed, but I think it's a very questionable minhag. It should be avoided. Everyone knows the old rule, the old minhag that the Rama has. This is already in Darkei Moshe, in his parish on the tour, that the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah writes that Hayman de domich bereish shata domich mazle. Domich means to sleep. Someone who sleeps at the beginning of the year, sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, he'll have a sleepy mazel. He'll have a sleepy year. So many are careful not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, based on that Yerushalmi. The Bach explains, what's the idea? Why are you going to have a sleepy year if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah? The Bach says that it's a kitrug, it looks bad. They're dealing with this person's din in Shamayim, and he's asleep. He should be davening, he should be crying. This is not the time to be sleeping, so it looks bad. It's a kitrug. It'll help them prosecute for this individual, against this individual in Shemayim. What's more, it shows that he's lazy. Right? It shows a certain sense of laziness, like the Pasuk says in Sefer Yonah, Malach HaNirdam. The Rav HaChovel, the captain, tells Yonah, what are you sleeping for? If it's the Yom HaDin, it's not a time to sleep. But the Bach says that the Marami Rutenberg slept on Rosh Hashanah. Just like every other Yom Tov, the Marami Rutenberg did sleep on Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the Ari HaKadosh slept after Chatzos. He says after Chatzos, the Malach Shal Rachamim already was misorer, he was awakened through the Tfilos and the Tkios, so then it's okay to sleep. So we see already that there was a minute to sleep in the afternoon at least. The Maram, he doesn't say anything about the afternoon, but Mistama, he was davening in the morning, so he slept in the afternoon. I saw in the Sfarim, they say that the Stipler also was knowing to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, a little bit. The yisod to keep in mind, everyone is so careful about this, you know, after the meal, it's 3:30 in the afternoon, and you know, the question is, should you take a little nap, should you learn a little bit, should you read the paper? The rule is that if you're going to be Yoshev Botel, the Mishnah Berurah says, Yoshev Botel Ki Yoshev Dami. If you're going to be saying Lashon Hara to your friend, if you're going to be reading a newspaper or something else, that's Yoshev Botel. So if you're not going to be learning, you might as well rest a little bit. Meaning, there are some people who say, look, I can't learn because I'm going to fall asleep, so I'll do something else. Fakert, either learn, or if you can't learn, take a little bit of a nap, so you can learn a little bit, and then you won't fall asleep. Some people, you know, they sit there and they learn. As they learn, they're sort of like dozing constantly. And they sit there for 45 minutes dozing as they're trying to learn. Best thing would be, lie down in a bed, sleep for half an hour, then you'll be able to learn with a strength. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, it is a Yom Tov, you can talk to your family, you can meet other people, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's Rosh Hashanah, so we should be focusing on Torah and Tefillah even more so on that day. But if a person is not going to be able to learn properly, he wants to be machmir not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, so Yetzer Scharo Bev say though. He's not going to really accomplish what he's supposed to. So again, this minhag has to be taken with a grain of salt as well. There are many who claim that after Chatzos one is allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, so take advantage of that minig if you're really not going to be able to learn and to function appropriately without the sleep. I did see the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas quotes that Be'emes, if you think about it, this minig should really apply from alos hashachar. Certainly, after hanetz hachama, it should apply. It's not only that in the morning you shouldn't, you know, late in the morning, 12 o'clock, or I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's the minig from the beginning of the day, lechora. So most of us sleep after alos hashachar on Rosh Hashanah. We haven't gotten up yet. Alos hashachar is going to be, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock. Most people are sleeping at 6:30. So how do we explain that? We should all be getting up to daven vasikin. So the answer probably is that we rely on the fact that we're afraid we won't be able to daven properly. That the idea is we want to daven the tefillos appropriately on Rosh Hashanah, and we're afraid that if we don't have a good night's sleep, we'll be yawning during the tefillos. We won't be able to concentrate. We'll want to just end everything. So you see that the concern that we're not going to be able to function properly, we're not going to be able to be involved in Torah and Tefillah appropriately, that's also a concern that we take seriously. So if we take that seriously when it comes to the morning before davening, we can take it seriously in the afternoon as well. So I think it's really a function of what the individual is capable of doing. If he has the energy, the taka, he should be makdish the time for Torah and Tefillah. Appropriate, that's the appropriate thing. He could talk to his family as well, but he should be makdish the time as much as he can for Torah and Tefillah. But if he doesn't have the energy, then he can sleep a little bit. He shouldn't overdo it, but he can sleep a little bit. Okay, we're running out of time. Let me add just a few more points. There's an old minig that they have in some yeshivas that they eat before Tkiyah Shofar. They say Kiddush and they eat a little bit before Tkiyah Shofar. Is this a good minig? Is this a questionable minig? What should be done? So, the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Lulav, actually, all places, he quotes from the Gemara in Sukkah that before doing any mitzvah d'oraisa, a person is not supposed to eat. Right? Before shaking a lula, before any mitzvah, he's not supposed to eat. Why? Because we're afraid that dilma asi limshoch, right? Dilma asi lamshuche, you might be drawn after the eating and the mitzvah will pass you by, you'll forget to do the mitzvah. That's an old halacha. That's already in the Mishnayos in Sukkah. The Magen Avraham points out that from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like Achila is Asur, but Te'ima is okay. What's Te'ima? Less than a kibetza. Less than a kibetza of bread. That's Te'ima. Tasting a little bit. Achila is inappropriate because we're afraid that you'll be Nimshach to the Su'udah. But Te'ima is okay. Just tasting a little bit might be okay. But the Magen Avraham says, he's mistapik. He says, I don't know. Even if Dilma Asur Lam Shuchen doesn't apply to Te'ima, we're not afraid that you'll be Nimshach. Te'ima is just tasting a little bit. A suda, we're afraid you'll get so involved in the suda, but te'ima, we're not so afraid of that reason. But the Magen Avraham says maybe there are other reasons. Maybe it's best to avoid te'ima as well. That's the chumra of the Magen Avraham on top of the Shulchan Aruch. What's the reason? So b'pshuto, what the Magen Avraham means to say is it's a zilzul to the mitzvah, it's a disgrace to the mitzvah to become involved in any kind of eating, even if it's only tasting, even if it's only te'ima, it's not a real suda. It's not more than a kibetz of pas. So based on this, some of the Achronim want to suggest that Litzorech Godol, if there's a Tzorech, if there's a real need, then perhaps Te'ima might be Mutter. The Magen Avraham is being Machmer on top of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch only said that for a mitzvah d'oraisa, one is not allowed to eat, to have a meal before doing that mitzvah. The Magen Avraham wanted to extend it even to Te'ima, even to tasting. And the Svara is that it's a zilzel for the mitzvah to do a little tasting before the mitzvah. So if that's the problem, then for a tzorech, maybe one would be allowed to do a little te'ima at least. Maybe one might even be able to do achila if it's a real tzorech. But it's hard to believe that achila is such a tzorech, right? But te'ima at least, if there would be a tzorech gadol, maybe one would be allowed to be mekel. So that's what someone has suggested. And maybe that's the reason why in the yeshivas, specifically in the yeshivas, because the davening is very long, that's why the minig developed that they make kiddush and they eat before the Tkiyah Shofar. Why? Because there's an old machlokas we've shown him whether one is allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah or not. And this is a whole shir unto itself. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah? There's a mitzvah of simchas yamtav when it comes to all the other, when it comes to the shalosh regalim. So the question is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah or not? Is there an iser tainis and a mitzvah of simcha? Those are two sides of the same coin. So to be machmir for those shittos who claim that there's an iser tainis on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be marich in the tefillos. The tefillos are going to be very long, even after chatzos. The iser tainis kicks in if a person is fasting until after chatzos. That's when we know that on Shabbos one is supposed to eat before chatzos, because there is an iser tainis on Shabbos. So if on Rosh Hashanah there's an iser tainis as well, So then one should eat before Chatzos. So because the tefillos are going to be extended so much past Chatzos, that's why the minhag developed that they make kiddush and they eat a little bit before the Tkiyah Shofar. Aye, but you're eating before a mitzvah. You're eating before the mitzvah Shofar. It's a mitzvah daraisa. The answer is that it's a tzorech. It's a tzorech. They don't have an achila. We only eat a little bit. They have a te'ima. It's less than a kibetzah pas. They don't even eat bread. But even in the cake that they eat, you don't have to eat a kibetz. You eat a kezayis. You eat a little bit just so you can make a bracha achrona. It's a tzorech. And because it's a tzorech, then perhaps it's mutter to do this little te'ima before fulfilling the mitzvah. Because the tzorech is, we don't want to fast on Rosh Hashanah. There is one day that says there's an isa tainis, that it's like a yomtiv. If it's like a yomtiv, then we don't want to fast past chatzos. This is what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in the Sefer Mikrei Kodesh. He tries to interpret a line of the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Shari Tshuva means. This is one reason that's given for this minhag. Yes?
You're supposed to have enough for bracha achrona?
Kezayis, yeah. You have a kezayis.
That's an achila, not a tima.
No.
Kebetz of bread.
More than a kebetz of bread is going to be an achila. So even if you'll tell me that more than a kebetz of mizonos is like a kebetz of pas. Yeah, but more than a kebetz is much more than a kezayis. How much is a kebetz? A kebetz is two kezayisim. Much more than a kezayis, double. Yeah, you have a couple of pieces of cake, but that's not going to be more than a kezayis. Yes.
Could you get away with breaking your tonsils with water?
Oh, I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. I saw Rav Sternbach in his Mar Demuzmanim, the first volume, Chelik Aleph Siman Dalet. He mentions two other reasons to be matir making kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar. He says, first of all, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chasam Sofer by lulav, that if someone is expecting his friend to bring him a lulav, he's in shul. And he called his friend, he said, could you bring me the lulav? So then he's allowed to eat before he gets the lulav. Right, let's say he's not in shul, say he's home, but he doesn't have a lulav in essence. He called his friend to bring the lulav in essence, then he can be out to the mitzvah. So then he's allowed to eat. Why? Because we assume that if a friend is going to bring him the lulav and esrog, the dalet minim, he'll remind him to take them, he'll remind him to fulfill the mitzvah. Whole problem is we're afraid that he might get too involved in the mitzvah. But if the friend is coming, so then it's okay. It sounds like the Chasam Sofer even holds that he's allowed to eat a meal, because the friend will remind him, and he won't forget to do the mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion says it's a kol shkein if the individual himself is going to the makom of the lulav. He's in transit. He's going to the makom of the lulav, so then he will remind himself. That's why he's going. So there certainly shouldn't be a problem. If we assume that if the friend is coming to him, there's no problem. Certainly if the individual himself is going to the Mokom HaMitzvah, there shouldn't be a problem. So Rav Sternbach wanted to suggest, what's the case over here? You're going to daven in shul. Very often the kiddush occurs in the shul. That's the Mokom where there's going to be Tkiyah Shofar. So we're not afraid that you'll be nimshach in the Suda. We're not going to be nimshach into the Suda. That's Mamish the Mokom where you're going to do the Tkiyah Shofar, where the mitzvah is going to be done. So in such a circumstance, we're not afraid that you'll be nimshach, so therefore, maybe even achila should be mutter. Maybe even achila should be mutter. So, there's what to be makel for. What's more, Rav Sternbach says, another reason. He says, netilas lulav, that's an easy mitzvah. Mid'agbe nafagbe, you pick up the lulav and ask you yotzei. Maybe the whole iser to eat before a mitzvah is where it's easy to do the mitzvah before eating. But shofar? Shofar is a long, drawn-out mitzvah. Right? It takes time, so you'll say the mitzvah d'oraisa you can fulfill with 30 kolos, but it's still not like the tilas lulav. The tilas lulav, you pick up the lulav and esrog, it's over. So maybe the whole issa to eat only applies to lulav v'chadomet, to lulav and other mitzvahs that don't take so much time. Or, as the poskim say, mitzvahs that are done at night that we're afraid you'll fall asleep and then you'll forget the mitzvah, like Megillah, or like davening Mariv. But a mitzvah that's during the daytime, right, and it does take a long time, maybe the whole idea that you're not supposed to eat before the mitzvah, that never applied, because it only applies to a mitzvah during the day, if it's easy to do the mitzvah before eating. Then we're afraid, first of all, that you'll be nimshach, and it's a zilzal to the mitzvah. But if it takes a long time, it's a zilzal to the tkiyah shofar to eat before, it's going to take a long time before you're going to finish the mitzvah tkiyah shofar kedasu kedin. So maybe there's yom to be mekel. Again, so there are three reasons so far we have. Either it's a tzorach, because there might be an issa to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so we want to eat before chatzos. Or, since you're in the place where you'll fulfill the mitzvah, there's no concern that you'll forget to do the mitzvah. And that betziruf, that reason, in conjunction with the fact that the mitzvah shofar is complicated, it's involved, it's not an easy mitzvah to fulfill, it doesn't take a split second, so therefore perhaps we'll be more megel for the mitzvah shofar. But the chora, the simplest eitzah is what Barry suggested. Why don't we just drink a little bit of water in the morning? That's the best eitzah. Drink a little bit of water before tefillah shachris. Even if it's usur to eat before kiddush, it's usur to drink before kiddush, that's after you've davened shachris. There's no issur to drink a little bit of water before davening. It's not a time for kiddush. The rule of ein kiddush elav makam suda, you're not allowed to eat anything before, I'm sorry, there's an Issa Te'ima before Kiddush, right? The Issa Te'ima before Kiddush is after the Chiyuv of Kiddush has been Chal. So there is a mitzvah of Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, but it's after Shachris. So before Shachris, one is allowed to eat a little, one is allowed to drink a little bit. So drink a little bit of water before Shachris. It's a pella that the Achronim didn't suggest such an idea. Why didn't they just say, drink a little bit of water beforehand? You know what the answer is? The answer probably is that they used to daven Vasikim. The old minhag used to be to get up early and to daven vasikin. So yes, they could drink a little bit of water, but it wouldn't solve the problem. If the problem that they had is that you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, so when is the issur tainus? We look at the daytime. Eating at night is not going to help you. If you're fasting during the day, so you might violate that issur. So the fact that you'll drink a little bit of water beforehand, that's not going to help you. So maybe that's why they had this whole discussion. Can they make kiddush before tkiyas shofar to eat a little bit so that we're not going to fast? That's because they were getting up so early. They were davening vasikin. They got up before the daytime. Before the daytime began, before nights, before alos. So if they got up so early, then drinking before davening wouldn't have solved the problem, the issur tainus. But we who are getting up later, the simple solution to the problem is not to make kiddush before tkiyas shofar. Just drink a little bit at the beginning, you know, before you come to shul. The answer must be, the real answer must be that there was a concern that people wouldn't be able to daven musaf with the proper kavana. That people are going to be too hungry, and drinking water just doesn't cut it for most people. It's not going to accomplish too much. People are still going to feel hungry. They're not going to have a yeshiva das to daven. So if your minyan is going to be over at 1 o'clock, 1:30, so even if that's after chatzos, you can solve the problem by simply drinking a little bit. The minyan is going to extend, it's going to schlep until 2:30 or 3 o'clock or something like that. So then I can understand more that maybe they should make kiddush. I think in the Beis Medrash they don't make a kiddush before tkiyas shofar in this yeshiva. In other yeshivas there are other minhagim. There's an old minhag to make kiddush before tkiyas shofar. Maybe their tefillah goes even later than our tefillah. I think that the tefillah here is over at around 2:30 or so. So every makom has to do what the minhag of that particular makom is. There is a makor to make kiddush before tkiyas shofar. There is a makor for such a minhag. But those who can avoid it by simply drinking in the morning before davening, that certainly is the best way to solve the problem. Then they won't have to make kiddush before tkiyas shofar. They won't have to perhaps violate this halacha that one is not supposed to eat, and perhaps, according to some achronim, not even supposed to be toim before a mitzvah derais. So it's best to solve the problem by drinking, but if that can't be done because you're afraid that you won't be able to concentrate, so perhaps there might be room to be mekel to eat a little bit before tkiyas shofar as well. Is this yours?